and no
Lord, we worship.
We worship and we honor you, Father. The Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. We bow before you. We thank you for your presence. As we enter the word, we ask that that presence go with us and come and open the word to us. Your word tells us that open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open our eyes. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Put the same unction that's upon my heart and my lips, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me. Let your word flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own. In particular, cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray, as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great and sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. I also pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver this word with precision, to redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring it out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving every blessing I mentioned in their individual lives agreed individually and said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. This afternoon, I'm going to finish the message I started last week, which was seeing and fulfilling your divine destiny. This is such an important message and truth. It's vital that as Christians, we understand, and I looked at this last time, that God has a plan for every life. Nobody is an accident, and we saw from several scriptures, I will not go to each of them individually, I'll just mention them in passing. We saw from Revelation chapter 22 verse 19 that there is a part for every human being in the book of life, in the holy city, and in the things that are written in the Bible. And then the Bible also tells us, you know, that in Hebrews chapter 10, in Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 1, it says there are hidden things. The law is a shadow of things to come. In Psalm 40 verse 7, it says the things it is written of me in the volume of the book. And in Psalm 139, it says that all the days of my life have been written in your book before there was ever any of them. So God already has a plan. No human being is an accident. And what makes you understand that very simply is this. The physical body is not the human being. So when you are conceived in your mother's womb, that physical zygote or embryo or whatever you want to call it, you know, is not the human being. What happens is that at the point of conception, once it is formed, God sends a human spirit into that embryo for it to grow into the human being that becomes you and I. But the plan of God for that person was inside God's mind before God ever released the spirit into the womb of the mother. That's why God could say that before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet to Jeremiah. But that's not only true of Jeremiah, it's true of all of us. I heard three amens. It's difficult for human beings to understand this. But that's where faith comes in. Faith is trust in one, God's integrity. Two, in God's ability, in his power. Three, in God's righteousness. Faith means I trust even before I can see. Because I know the person that spoke. Because I know his character. I know he will not lie. Not only do I know his character, I know he has the power to do what he has said. See, God's omnipotent. So he had a plan. That plan was inside God's mind. So when the Bible was written, what God did, and only God could have done it, was that he put the plan for every human life. He put it in a coded form, in types and shadows, in all of the Bible narratives. That is why you can find that one scripture can speak to a billion people. And I gave the example. For example, out of Egypt I have called my son. It's one scripture. But it applied to natural Israel that came out of Egypt. It applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was taken to Egypt, you know, to protect him against Herod as a little baby, you know, as a little child. And then he was brought back. And then it applies to every single one of us. Because spiritually speaking, we've been called out of Egypt. Now, that's just a very elementary example. But the whole Bible is like that. The Bible calls it the prophecy of Scripture. Everybody say, all Scripture is prophetic and contains messages of God's plan and purpose. Now turn to your neighbor and say, for your life. So you are reading something. You're reading something about Ahab. Or you're reading something about Hezekiah. Or you're reading something about David. Or you're reading something about Jeremiah. Or you're reading something about Jacob. Or you're reading something, you know, about Joseph. Or you're reading something about Joshua or whoever. Some of it applies to you. But it's only the Holy Spirit that can quicken it to you. So you will now see, that's a part of my life. For instance, I've given this practical example about myself. When I was in Imperial College, that time I didn't even know much about the Old Testament and types and shadows, but I just used to read my Bible every day. And as I was reading in Joshua, you know, it said that God told Joshua that he would divide the land for the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, I've called you to rightly divide the word of God for an inheritance for my people. It's going to be a major part of the ministry which I've called you to do. And when I look back today, that's exactly what has happened and is still happening. You know, by revelation knowledge of God's word, he's helping me to rightly divide the word. Part of this message is one of it, is an example of it. You know, to enable God's people to come into the inheritance of their promised land, which I said during the Bible study, is the perfection of the fullness of Christ, where the life of God is made manifest in our mortal flesh. That scripture has come to pass. Is a part of the plan of God for my life. But guess what? It's not only Olubi who is called to do that. There are probably millions who are called to do the same thing. Now, some come to see it. Some may not come to see it. Some will come to fulfill it. Some may not come to fulfill it. But the plan is there. And so, God wants us to understand that there is a plan for your life that is inside the scripture. And that's why we say seeing and fulfilling your prophetic destiny. Your prophetic destiny is hidden inside the prophetic scriptures. And it's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit operating at two levels. One, through you as an individual. And two, through his prophets. You're going to need both. See, people have misunderstood the prophet's ministry to be just fortune telling. You know, people want somebody, a prophet, to come to them and say, thus said the Lord, blah, 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 blah. Next week you go to, you know, Tanzania. And the following week you're going to go to China. And when you get there, somebody will meet you and they will give you $10 million. And so on. I say that in a very silly way. But really, most people think that that's what the prophet's ministry is all about. You know, just to foretell details about the future of people's life. It is not. The primary purpose of the prophetic ministry is to allow us to know when the times and the seasons for God's purpose in our lives are approaching and what we ought to do so that we can fulfill those purposes and prosper in them. It usually will not contain details about the specific things that are going to happen. And I gave an example. I think I did this on Wednesday, and I'm going to repeat it now. For instance, God spoke through Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 7 and said that, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." End of story. The name of the virgin was not given. The year she would conceive was not given. The place she would conceive in was not given. All of that was not given. The purpose was given. The virgin will conceive. Because without the virgin conceiving, Jesus couldn't come and be sinless. Otherwise, he would have partaken of the sin nature through the bloodline. That was the vital thing. And God said, a virgin will conceive. Many times, when prophetic words come, that's how they come. The purpose will be emphasized and given in the prophetic word, but many times the personal details are not given. And why does God do that? I'll tell you why. The Lord spoke to me, and you know, he shared that with me. He said, because sometimes the personal details are worked out at the time. And I gave an example. Mary may not have been the first person God chose. How do you know? None of us will know until when we get to heaven. The name was not given. He won't say her name will be called Mary. Many times, God has a plan. And he wants one particular person to do something. But the person doesn't do it. So God now will leave that person and go and pick somebody else to do it. I gave this other example from Scripture. Do you know that God's plan was to confirm the kingdom in the hand of Saul forever? Like he did for David? And Samuel told him, he said that you have done foolishly. For had you done this, he said, today God would have confirmed the kingdom in your forever. So if 500 years before, somebody had said, oh, the name of the king that's going to confirm forever is Saul, he would have been wrong. All that God would have just said was that the kingdom is going to be established forever. The details are worked out as the time comes and God begins to work in the hearts of men. Why? Because God does not override the free will of men. That's the message. I said I'm preparing a message on predestination. You know, and I've forgotten the full title as God gave it to me. I have it written somewhere, but it's not here right now. You know, but maybe in some weeks' time, probably in the new year, I'm not sure. You know, but the thing about it is this. Because God does not violate the free will of men, unlike evil spirits. That's why you find that to dazzle people, evil spirits try and give petty details. Like, something will happen to you next week. That's fortune telling. Astrology. It's familiar and lying spirits that do that. The Holy Spirit, sometimes he will, but many of the times he won't. He will just say what's going to happen. But he will not seriously say the name of the person who is going to happen. For instance, I just remembered another scripture. You know, it's in somewhere in the Psalms. I don't remember exactly where. You know, he prophesied about Judas. And he said that he that is eating my food will raise up his heel against me. Years later, hundreds of years later, it was Judas Iscariot. But the name Judas Iscariot was not attached to that prophecy. Didn't God know? God just knew there was going to be somebody. But when the time approaches, you know, then God will know who the person is going to be. You know, depending on how the person behaves. There are so many things. You see, you have to understand something about prophetic destiny. What we do or do not do can change it. God told Hezekiah, set your house in order, for you will surely die. Hezekiah prays. And Isaiah the prophet is not out of the king's courtyard. And the word of the Lord comes and says, go back and tell Hezekiah that I've lengthened your life by 15 years. So, you see, we have to understand that divine destiny is intricately interwoven with man's free will and man's obedience. I'm reminded of Kenneth Hagin's experience, you know, in 1959 in El Paso, Texas, where Jesus appeared to him in what we call an open vision. And of the many things he said to him, told him a lot about the prophet's ministry. In fact, some of the things I'm teaching you came from some of that teaching that Jesus gave to Kenneth Hagin. You know, but the part I just want to bring out is that he told him, he said that I allowed, Jenkins had an accident and his hand was in plaster of Paris and he was in hospital. Jesus came to the hospital. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus goes to the hospitals too. Turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus works with the doctors too. It was Jesus who told Kenneth Hagin all of that. He said, I will speed up the healing process, you know, and you know, you'll be out of this. He said, but I allowed this to happen to you to arrest your attention, because you have got out of my perfect will and you've entered into my permissive will, because you put your teaching ministry above your prophetic ministry, because it is more acceptable to men. Then he was, at this time, Kenneth Hagin was only 42 years old. This is 1959. Kenneth Hagin was born in 1917. He was 42. So Jesus now said to him, he said that if you had continued like that, you would have died at the age of 55. On top of that, you would never have entered the first phase of your ministry. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. What? Ken Hagin had been a pastor. He had healed the sick. He had had word of wisdom, word of knowledge. He had had all. Yet he hadn't entered the first phase of his ministry. May God have mercy on us. There's a lot of things we think we are doing and it's not even counting. You know why? It's not what is written in the book. Because before you were formed in your mother's womb, there was a plan. And that plan is hidden here. You can spend your whole life. Can you imagine a whole Kenneth Hagin? We would not have known who Kenneth Hagin is. He would have died at the age of 55. He would never have written any book. Because he didn't start writing until much later. His ministry would never have had the worldwide influence that it had, if he had taken that wrong turn. And he was already going in the wrong direction, because he wanted to be like everybody else. Have a nice teaching ministry, teach about healing and prosperity so that people can be blessed, you know, and unless going to all this prophetic, it will make people, alienate people and all of that. It's happened to me too, by the grace and the mercy of God. I started working in a prophetic teaching anointing in 1988. I can remember it clearly, because I remember the message that started to come. You know, the Elijah ministry, the Joshua generation, the man-child company. You know, they were different from... Before, all I used to teach was just life scriptures, healing, prosperity. That was it. But an anointing came on me, and I started getting revelation that was prophetic. And I remember people coming to me and saying, look, Brother Luby, all this prophetic, people don't like it all. Stay with what you're doing, you know, that your church will stay big and people will come. But I didn't, by the grace of God. I did what God told me to do. And what happened? The crowd did go. People got uncomfortable with all the prophetic messages. So, we said all of that to say this. Pastor Lalu, you need to come and take this and charge it up. Look for something to charge it up. Maybe give me another one that I can use, or give me an analog Bible. You know. Now, we need to understand this. Give me another Bible. Quick. Thank you. God wants us to go analog today. Amen. Now, what we need to understand is how to see your prophetic destiny. We looked at all of this last week. We saw that there is a plan of God for the individual. There is a plan of God for the church. And there is a plan of God for nations. And all of them are interwoven. The plan of the individual cannot be outside the plan of the church, because the individual is inside the church. The plan for the nation cannot be outside the plan for the church, because it is the church that determines the destiny of the nation. And one very important point here is this, that we really need to give attention to. You cannot find your prophetic destiny outside the destiny of the church. So if you're not hearing what God is saying about the church, you can never hear what God is saying about you. Let me be more specific. For instance, in the season in which we're in now, the plan of God for the church is the perfection of the church and the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, if a Christian today says, oh, I don't believe in all of that, all I believe is in is being born again, which is Passover. Whereas his destiny is already a part of the destiny of the church in Tabernacles, he's going to lose most of his destiny. By that simple, well, not simple, by that, you know, tragic is a word for it, you know, very sad decision that he has made, he has cut himself off from a lot of his destiny that is actually hidden in the Feast of Tabernacles for the church, and his own individual part is inside that Feast of Tabernacles. You cannot have your destiny apart from God's plan. You have to understand the big picture. The big picture is the man, the church, the nation. Also, even the nations where God plants you are very important. You can't go to another nation, you know, if you're not where God wants you to be, there are certain parts of your destiny you can't fulfill. That is why it's very careless just to go because of financial thing. Leave where God planted you. You know, if God is sending you, that's a different matter. But if God didn't send you and you're doing it because of money and convenience and all that, you can be in a place where God didn't want you to be. And where what God is planning for you is in the other place, and therefore it can't work. That is why it is wrong to put financial, material, and physical ambition above spiritual revelation. Very careless. And many times the results are very tragic. You know, because sometimes it leads to premature death. Sometimes it leads to things. Because he's in the wrong place. And the reason why he left where he left is because of money. Because the love of money is the root of all evil. Not because God told him to. It went very quiet. I said it went very quiet. I didn't hear one amen. It's the truth. So, let's now go into more detail. How then do we see our prophetic destiny and fulfill it? You have to understand that there's a part of it you're going to get by yourself personally through the word and prayer. Then there's a part of it that is going to come through the prophetic and apostolic ministry as they minister the word. It's like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. A jigsaw puzzle is a big picture that you cut into little pieces. And then you try and put little pieces together to get the picture back. The plan of God for your life is like a jigsaw puzzle. Some of the pieces of the puzzle are given to you. Some of the pieces of the puzzle are given to the prophets. When you begin to see your own pieces come together, when you come to church, and that's one of the reasons why you have to listen. And that's why the Bible says that believe in the Lord your God 2 Chronicles 20:20. So shall you be established through, we saw this last week, the word and the spirit. Everybody said the word and the spirit. See, is when you read the Bible and study it yourself and you pray in tongues a lot, God will begin to reveal to you some of your prophetic destiny. When you now hear prophets, and prophets operate at three levels. Number one, which is the primary one and the major one, prophetic preaching and teaching, which is supernatural but not spectacular. Like, for example, what I'm doing right now. It is supernatural, but it is not spectacular. The other two operations of the prophet are spectacular, but they are not what is done every day. They're not done regularly. Prophetic utterance, where the prophet will give a word and say, "Thus saith the Lord," and prophesy, either tongues and interpretation, or you just give straight prophecy. Then dreams and visions. Sometimes prophetic revelation will come through visions, through dreams, and through utterance. But those are the exception, not the rule. Why? Because prophetic dreams, visions, and utterances are given only as the Spirit wills. So when the Spirit is not, when there is no anointing to prophesy, or there is no vision or dream, does it mean the prophet is not in operation? Of course not. Prophet is supposed to preach and teach and bring out prophetic truth by revelation from the word. So as he preaches and as he teaches, the revelation from God's word, and but the grace of God which is with me and has been with me all of these years, I have operated this so I know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking theory. You know, word of wisdom will come. The word of knowledge will come. And as those revelations come, the person in the congregation who God has been speaking to, who has been praying and reading their Bible, have a certain part of the jigsaw puzzle, and they've seen something. Immediately I say something, or any other prophet, not just me, you know, that fits, they will just see it fits straight. And they will know it's God. That is the normal operation of the prophet's ministry. He preaches and teaches revelation about the purposes of God as the times and the seasons for those purposes approach. And that is why the prophetic ministry is typified by the sons of Issachar in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 in verse 32, which tells us 1 Chronicles... We're so used to electronic Bibles, this way, you just press a button and it takes you straight there. 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and in verse 32, this is what it says. It says, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times." Let's say understanding of the times. Turn to your neighbor and say, the prophetic ministry deals primarily with timing. The timing of God's purposes. I shared this with us in our last message, you know, I just mention it in passing. You got the fivefold anointings: evangelist, pastor, teacher, prophet, and apostle. The God gave me a very simple understanding of their operation. I don't think of them as men. I think of them as offices, as anointings. The evangelistic anointing brings in the sinner and answers the question, what? The pastoral anointing looks after the saint after he gets born again, you know, and answers the question why he should continue in the things of God. The teaching anointing, without the prophetic, answers the question how to operate the basic principles: faith for healing, faith for prosperity, faith for deliverance, faith for protection. That's what I was operating from 1984 to 1988. So I know, by the grace and the mercy of God. You know, the prophetic anointing now begins to, it does every other thing those other ones do. Then on top of that, it now begins to answer the question, when? That's why timing comes in. when, the purpose of God, the when of the purpose of God that takes the saint into the fullness of his destiny, which, like I shared during the Bible study, is the perfection of the fullness of Christ. That's what started coming to me in 1988. You know, 1988, 89, 90, 90, 91, 92, and all of those years up till now by the grace and the mercy of God. And that's what the prophet. The apostolic is just a sledge on top of the prophetic because it gives how. The apostolic gives the wisdom, not just what Israel ought to do, but how Israel ought to do it, so that it can be fulfilled and they can come established. That explains the fivefold ministry. It's really as simple as that, you know. And so that's why you find the prophet, he is tied to timing. Who had understanding of the times, I didn't hear you, to know what Israel ought to do. So when prophets come, they come to tell the church that the time for such and such purpose is approaching, and this is what you ought to do. And that is why people don't like prophets. Because you see, most of the time, people are not doing what they ought to do. So the prophetic word becomes corrective. It's instructional, it's corrective, it's rebuke, because majority of the time the church is not doing what they ought to do. Most of the time, honey, watch this. Most of the time, the church wants to stay in its comfort zone and does not want to go into the next purpose of God. They don't want to come up hither. Then the prophet now comes to tell them, where you are staying is not right. You need to move. Like he told them in the children of Israel, he said, turn you northward. He said, you have come past this mountain long enough. Turn you northward and go. You know, but you people are comfortable where they are. So they don't want to hear that. And usually, where God wants you to go to, there are challenges. There will be giants in the land. And people don't want to, they don't want anything to disturb, you know, what they have. Many years ago, I think it was Papa Ralph who mentioned this, and I, by the grace of the mercy of God, I probably amplified it, and it was this. See, in Egypt, the church was in bondage. They were slaves, they were building houses and treasure cities for Pharaoh, you know, they were being whipped by hard taskmasters. Their lives were made hard with rigor. But in Babylon, it was not so. In Babylon, they were in captivity, but they were very comfortable. In Babylon, everybody had his own house. He had his own vineyard. He had material prosperity to quite a great degree. You know, they were comfortable. They were blessed in Babylon. So when the prophetic word now came through Daniel's intercession and the decree of Cyrus, that now come, let people, you know, arise and go to Jerusalem to go and build me a house, which was God's purpose. Majority didn't listen. They were comfortable in Babylon. That is the same thing is happening today. Most Christians are comfortable with the simple gospel, get born again, get filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, delivered, get blessed, marry, have nice children, have a nice career, die and go to heaven. Zoa. But that's not God's purpose. God's purpose is what we did during the Bible study. God's purpose is to bring many sons unto glory. God's purpose is for the life of God to be made manifest in your mortal flesh. God's purpose is to grow into the perfection of fullness of Christ. But you know what? On the way to God's purpose is much tribulation. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. Now, they don't want to hear that. So they stone the prophets. So they hate the prophets. Don't come and tell me all of that. I'm comfortable where I am. I'm blessed. I'm healed. I'm delivered. You know, everything is fine. Why you come and tell me about it? Okay, well, maybe that's for you. That's the will of God for you, but it's not the will of God for me. It's not the will of God for Olubi Johnson. It's not the will of God for Sarah Johnson. It's the will of God for the church. and you are a part of the church. So your destiny is interwoven with the destiny of the church. You don't have a choice. Well, you do. By default, you just choose death. See, that's why they don't like prophets. What I've just said now. When you refuse God's purposes, you just chose death. God said, I set before you life and death. He said, therefore choose life. Now, if you say, no, I haven't chosen, then automatically you choose death. It's default. Whether you say with your mouth or not, doesn't matter. That's what you chose. By your choice. God have mercy on us. Can you see what I mean? The prophet's ministry is not very... Can you see? People are not... Rejoice, care. Don't lie, prophets. Because the prophet wants to take the church into the purpose of God. And the church does not want to go into the purpose of God. Majority. They don't want to. So leave his church. Go somewhere else. It doesn't matter where you go. What is written is written. The plan of God for your life is already written. Before you are put in your mother's womb. Now, the tragic part of this story is that if you don't fulfill it, it will be given to somebody else. He said that if any man take away from the parts of this book, he said, I will take his parts away. Now, it's not the will of God, but that's your choice. Now, the parable that, you know, he gave one talent to all the... You know, one guy made five, one guy made, you know, and got 10 talents, another guy made 10 talents. The one who had the one, who wants to stay in his comfort zone, doesn't want to risk anything, doesn't want to fight the Goliaths. So he takes the talent and he buries it under the earth, which is a type of his carnal nature. He's not backslidden, he's still a Christian, but no increase, no growth. So the master comes back and says, he said, I know you're a hard man. Oh, yeah, this is the talent that you gave me. The Bible calls him a wicked servant. And says, now take the talent and give it to the guy who had 10 talents. Only mommy clapped. Followed by Wale and a few others. You see what I'm saying? This is prophetic ministry in operation. That I'm giving you now. Prophetic ministry in operation. That parable... Do you understand? Is applicable to billions of Christians. And your choice will determine what part of the parable you fulfill. Which one do you want to fulfill? Do you want to fulfill the one that put it under the earth? It's your choice. Or do you want to fulfill the one that got 5 talents? Or do you want to fulfill the one that gets 10 talents? All of it has been written concerning you. Hello! If you still love me, give me a wave offering. If you can't give a clap offering, give a wave offering. Praise the Lord, you know. You know. So that is what the prophet's ministry is. So you have to work in conjunction with the prophets. It's not you don't come and meet me and say, Brother Obi, do you have a word for me? Say, so, well, you know, what do you think God is saying about my life now? Nobody can do that for you. When you do that, you open the door to familiar and lying spirits. You know why? Those kind of things only operate as the Spirit wills. Everybody say, as the Spirit wills. The gift of prophecy. The discerning of spirits, which is vision. The discerning of spirits that carry along with it a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. You cannot push a button and discern into, look into the spirit realm. It only comes as spirit wills, and it's occasional. You can go for years and not get a vision. Years and not get a dream. I can't remember when last I dreamed. I don't dream. But I get revelation every day. And that's God's pattern. I read my Bible, I pray, I fast, I pray a lot in the Spirit, and as I pray, God gives me revelation. That's how it should be. Dreams and visions are occasional. And they're only given many times when
something is really going wrong and God has to step in a spectacular way to change our path, like he did for Kenneth Hagin. Don't go asking for a prophetic word. It cannot be given. It can only be given as the Spirit wills. But you can come to church every day and hear prophetic teaching. Then, you know what? It will have no meaning to you if you don't have your own pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. And that's the problem with the church. They don't want to do any spiritual work. The Bible calls prayer labor work. He says, they that labor in the word. There is a work in the word. There is a work in prayer. It is when you do those two that you will get your own pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. Then when you now come to church or you listen to a message or you read a book by a prophet, you know, by prophetic ministry, that another part of the jigsaw puzzle will fit what God has given you. And you will know it is God who spoke to you because it's independent of human manipulation. Are you listening to me? It cannot be corrupted. That is why it is called the more sure word of prophecy. To which you do well that you take heed, as unto a light in a dark place. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. This is how you see your prophetic destiny. You know, and if you don't do your own part of the work, when the prophet comes and he brings his own part of the jigsaw puzzle, he has nothing to click with. And that is why so many Christians live and die and never enter into their prophetic destiny. Even though it has been written before they were put in their mother's womb. Even though it is written of them in the volume of the book. Even though it is written according to Revelation chapter 22:19, the things that are written inside this book, there's a plan for your life. It's inside the Bible. But it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. And it is the honor of kings to search it out. And if you have not been doing any searching out, you won't see it. How do you search out? Praying in tongues. Reading your Bible. Studying your Bible, hearing God's word. I think one of the best instructions for getting prophetic destiny is written in Proverbs chapter 4. It's talking about healing, but it's the application is the same. My son, attend to my words. That's read it every day. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Listen to prophetic and apostolic teaching. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Meditate in it. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them and medicine to all their flesh. I can apply, it will become life to you and help to find your prophetic destiny. Hold on to that. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they will become life. And when it brings life, it will bring light. Then you will see your destiny. Are you listening to me? You know, it's good news and it's bad news depending on which side of the fence you're sitting in. You know the thing, what I've just told you now, no shortcut. When you try and take shortcuts and you try and look for some prophet to come and prophesy for you, or you're looking for somebody to come and give you a prophetic word, you will open the door to familiar and lying spirits. And they will derail you from your destiny. It is sad and regrettable that many, 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 many of our people are going off course because they are seeking, watch this, the spectacular at the expense of the supernatural. Our people don't believe that God can speak except you have a vision or a dream. Whereas God is talking all the time through the prophetic scriptures. An anointed prophetic teaching. I want to warn you. The fact that something comes to pass does not mean it's from God. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Because it's so common now Thank you, Pastor Lalu. I hope this e-sword. No, this is not a real thing, man. Okay. All right, I got the real thing now. Thank you, Pastor Lalu. Give Pastor Lalu a clap offering. Somehow, God had mercy on him. You know. And look at, excuse me. Oh, glory to God. My God, you got the King James here. This is Yemisi's own, isn't it? Whose own? Pastor William, thank you. You know, Jesus, you loaned me your Bible. So, new anointing will come on this thing. Okay. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 1. He said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams. Can you? And giveth thee a sign or a wonder. Verse 2. And the sign or the wonder come to pass. It happened though. Whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Please keep it in its New Testament context. He's talking here about idolatry. But New Testament idolatry is covetousness. So, somebody gives you a prophetic word. Let me use one of the typical ones today. In 7 days' time, and I am speaking directly to Professor Kayode. Kayode, Olorun ti bless him. In 7 days' time, you are going to get 7 million naira. If you sow now $700 into this ministry, it has to be God. 777. You are laughing. It happens all the time. What a word. 7 days, 7,700,000. Who won't put the money down? Even if you go and borrow it. And you know what? The 7 million will come. Ah! It must be God. No! It's a familiar spirit. That's what the Bible says here. It says, if it comes to pass, but what it does is that it takes you into covetousness, idolatry, taking you away. You see, what I've just done by giving Coyote, God forbid, of course, you know, everybody knows I was joking. You know, that prophetic word is that I have told Coyote he doesn't need to pray. He doesn't need to seek God. He does not need to search the scriptures. All he needs to do is give me money. I have just drawn him away from God with the promise of a material and financial gain, which the Bible calls covetousness. That's exactly what Deuteronomy 13 is talking about. It takes you away from God. Sadly, this is rife. How do you say it in medicine? It's endemic. It's like a cancer. It is all over the church. And the people love it. You know why? It absolves them of any responsibility. So you find a whole bunch of an army of tares. Quick gain. Supposing that gain is godliness. So every time they come to church, they are waiting for a word. And the man of God thinks he has to perform. So he now begins to, you know, a lot of these things is not the word of the Lord, is the perception of his own spirit. Then an evil spirit will come and give him something. A lying spirit that was in the mouth of the prophets of Ahab. That's what's happening in the church. Go to Ramoth Gilead and thou shalt prevail. Until a true prophet comes. Micah. He too initially is carried away with the crowd. You know, sometimes crowd effect can have an effect on you. You know, because you too don't want to sound different from everybody else. So you let me just say what everybody is saying. Mercy, Lord, oh! We must learn to stand. Even if I'm the only one, I will stand for God's truth. If it's not, if God did not say it, I'm not going to say it. No matter who says it. You know what they said? They said, have any of the scribes or Pharisees believed on him? Have the scribes and Pharisees become the standard of truth? No! The standard of truth is the word of God. Not the scribes and the Pharisees. So even if the whole of the Sanhedrin, I'm speaking in code. If the whole of all the eldership of the scribes, and they say something and it is contrary to the word of God, I will not agree with them. It does not mean I don't love them or I don't respect them. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So what they say, do, but don't do after their works. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah! Don't follow them. Micah says, don't go to Ramoth Gilead. For I saw Israel as a sheep without a shepherd. Meaning the king was going to die. He said, and as I stood, behold, God opened my eyes. And in front of the throne of God, God now said, who shall go and be a lying spirit in the mouths of the prophets of Ahab? And a spirit came and said, I will. He said, go and thou shalt prevail. God allowed it. But you know what? God would never have allowed it if they had not put themselves in that condition. When you want to perform so that you can get money and be big in the eyes of men, it's called the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You want to be called prophet, prophet, when you are not really a prophet. Or you are trying to operate at a level you have not got to. Then the evil spirit will accommodate you. Say, go and be a lying spirit. And he was. Ahab died that afternoon. He never came back. And he told Micah, he said, go and lock him up. And give him with the bread of affliction, bread and water. And when I come back, I will deal with him. Ah, Micah, the great man of God. He said, if you come back, God has not spoken by me. That was, thank you, Kaude. It was a way. When Micah said that, you should have turned back and said, release him. I'm not going again. It was a way of escape. But his pride did not allow him to see it. Same thing is happening up till today. There are a lot of lying spirits in the mouths of many of our people. Hallelujah. Come and open this thing for me. Praise the Lord. It went off. I don't have the ID. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. He has not given me his password. He trusts his pastor. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, that's what happened. So, the Bible tells us you should be careful. The fact that it came to pass does not mean it's God. The fact that it worked or brought the money or the miracle. He said, and if the sign and wonder, and read it again, verse 2. Deuteronomy 13. Let's read together. And the sign and wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, but this is the effect of it. Let us go after other gods, you know, idolatry, which we have not done and served them. He said, you will not hearken unto the words of that prophet or dreamer. Verse 3. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. See, God will allow some things to happen. He wants to see our hearts. God have mercy on us. God have mercy on us. So, don't run after spectacular manifestations. Understand, I thank God I was well taught by the grace and the mercy of God. Let's give Kenneth Hagin another clap offering. He's in heaven now, but I can still hear Kenneth Hagin's voice. I can still hear his voice. Don't seek visions. I can still hear it. It's still resonating in my spirit. He said, if you do, Satan will appear to you as an angel of light. And he's been appearing to so many people. And I'll tell you something else. I shared this last in our last lesson as I begin to close. See, what you perceive and what God said are not the same thing. Many times, honey, listen to this. Our perceptions can be very accurate. Very accurate. Paul said, I perceive that there's going to be a storm. And there was a storm. Now, he didn't say, thus saith the Lord. He said, I perceive. When he was writing 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he said, you know, if you're married to a man, don't leave him. This is God. He said, but if you're not married, you know, and this person is not a Christian and all that, he said, I give this counsel. He said, this is not God. This is me talking. It takes honesty to do that. It takes humility to do that. A lot of our people are not honest. And they are not humble. So what they perceive, they now put thus saith the Lord on top. And watch this. The minute you do that, you enter into a lie. And once you open a lie, you've opened the door to the devil. So he will now come and add some things to it. Because you see, no counterfeit can fool anybody without has parts of the original. So part of it will be God. Be like God. Then there will be part of it. After all, rat poison is only 2% poison. The remaining 98% is proper meat. But it will kill you. That's how erroneous prophetic words are. 90% of it may be, you just quote some Bible scriptures and something. So it will look as if it's God. But there's a 2% that is not God, that is there to kill you and abort your prophetic destiny. So don't be lazy. Take time to pray. Take time to know the word. You know why? When you know the word and you pray, when something is coming, and even when it is God, you can judge it. So you despise not prophesying. You prove all things, and then you hold fast only to that which is good. But you know, if you yourself don't know the word, how will you be able to judge it? You will just eat the whole rat poison, hook, line, and sinker. Most of our people, they don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to study. They don't want to pray. They don't want to fast. They don't want to crucify the flesh. And they are looking for a prophetic word. And Satan is accommodating them. You know what? The Bible says this about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he said that he gave them the word as they were able to hear it. The reason why prophetic ministries are not able to function optimally is that the church is operating at such a low level. So when you go to many places, there's very few, if any, that have, you know, the word and the spirit. So there is nothing that's going to come from you to confirm, because there's nothing to confirm. That's why it's so difficult many times to preach deep prophetic messages in some places. The people out there, their level is too low. It has to change. Let me correct that. It is changing. God is going to have a glorious church without spot, blemish, wrinkle, or any such thing. So what you need to do, I'm closing now. You know, you got the witness of the word and the spirit. I'm going to close with two scriptures. Follow me to John chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 37 to 39. I want to explain how the witness John, yes, and the word work together. John chapter 5, verses 37 to 39. Just before I read this scripture, I want to remind us of what I said earlier on. It bears repetition. The Word of God contains the plan of God for the individual. I would say the individual. Turn to your neighbor, say you and me. The church and nations. We looked at that last time. I'm not going to go through it again. So when the timing of God's purposes begin to approach, that's why he sent John the Baptist before Jesus came. He would send a prophet ahead of time to prepare the way in the hearts of the people. He begins to tell them, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Let me paraphrase that. Repent, the purposes of God are at hand. Come out of your comfort zone. Obey instruction. This is what you ought to do. Change some of the things you're doing. You know, come up hither. You know, the purpose of God is at hand. When the prophet begins to do that, you know, he begins to speak at three levels simultaneously. There's a message for the individual, there's a message for the church, and there's a message for the nation. You see, and people don't appreciate that. They don't understand that. So when you're hearing a word, you need to hear there's something for you. There's something for the church, but you are a part of the church. Then there's also something for the nation. I just remembered, you know, what I mentioned this example that I did, gave some, I think my last message on this about Nigeria. God, in 1998, about Abacha, you know, and there was this word that came to me, Zechariah chapter 11, verse 8, three shepherds will be cut off in 1 month. I didn't even know, because I've read that Bible many times, you know, but it came to me about Nigeria. Now, observe, he didn't tell me who the shepherds were. He didn't tell me when the month was going to be. I just had that understanding. Abacha dies June 8, 1988. Another general, Halidu, he died. He would have been head of state, not Abdul Salam. And he was a strong Abacha man. Things would probably not have gone the way they went. And then finally, you know, Abiola MKO died July 7, within a month exactly. Many times, I didn't get a vision. I didn't get a dream. It was just a revelation from God's word, you know. So many times, God will speak about the nation like that. But you know that three shepherds cut off in 1 month is not only for Nigeria. It's not only for, you know, it's not only for the nation. It's also for the church. Because judgment is coming. Now, the word is that in Job chapter 34, in verses 20 to 30, you know, which I'm not going to go into detail, he says that, you know, they will be cut off without human hand. Overnight. But in the case of Zechariah, it was three. In the case of Job, it says many. It's coming. It's coming. But who the many are, God hasn't told me yet. You know, when it's going to be, I don't have the exact date. It's not necessary. The important thing is the purpose. You know what the purpose is? That the hypocrite reign not. And he tells God, the reason why he's doing it, he said, because they caused the cry of the poor to come to me. And they will not do the right thing. And our people are ripe for it. Another message for another day. So, you need to understand that. The word, the same word can have multiple applications. That's why it's the word of God. Multiple applications. John chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father himself, I didn't hear you, which has sent me, hath borne what? Witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Verse 38. And you have not his word, what? Everybody scream it. See, if the word is not living inside you, you cannot see God, and you can't see his shape, you can't hear his voice. But if the word is living inside you, you will see him, and you will hear his voice. You will see the invisible. Are you listening to me? This is primarily how God reveals himself, both to the prophet and to the individual. Then he now synchronizes what he's showing the individual with what he's speaking through the prophet. And then everybody gets the full picture. Next verse. Verse 39. Search the scriptures. See it? Search the scriptures. I didn't hear you. Oh. Some people are lazy. They don't want to search the scriptures. That's why you read it every day. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the honor of King to do what? Search it out. How do you do it? Search the scriptures. For in them, you think you have eternal life. They, don't your neighbor say, they who? They, the scriptures, are they which what? Testify of me. Me, Jesus. You know what? Everything God is going to say about you, I know that's Jesus, but you are in Christ. So, they testify of you. For it is written of you in the volume of the book. Revelation chapter 19 verse 10. I believe this is my last scripture. But you know I'm not God. How many people know that? Hallelujah. And I fell at his feet. Revelation chapter 19 verse 10. And he said unto me. This was the guy who was giving John a tour of heaven. You know, in this revelation. Vision that he had. See that thou do it not. You know, sometimes we get so overwhelmed with the anointing and the revelation that men have. We want to worship them. It's a great temptation. Don't do it, oh. See that thou do it not. I didn't hear you. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony. This person was a Christian. He was one of the brethren. We don't know who it was. The Bible doesn't reveal to us who it was. But it's one of the brethren. You understand? I am your fellow servant, a prophet too. And of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. You know? Worship God. Never worship men. Turn to your neighbor. Say, never worship men. Worship only God. Now watch this. For the testimony of Jesus is the what? Spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. Everybody say, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of... The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Well, every prophetic word is to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ, what he has come to do in us and for us, and your own part in that destiny. The testimony, he testifies of Jesus, is the spirit of prophecy, but it also testifies of you. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Seeing and fulfilling your prophetic destiny. You've got to work at it, folks. Search the scriptures. The Father himself has borne witness. Pray in the Spirit. Get the witness. Get the word. And then you get, for yourself personally, and then you get the prophetic word that comes from the prophet independently. And when you have everything together, you get a complete picture, and then you'll be able to fulfill your prophetic destiny in Jesus' name. I'm pressing on the upward way.
I'm pressing on the upward way.
New
heights am gaining every day.
Still praying.
Praying
as I'm upward bound.
Lord, plant my feet
on higher ground.
Lord, lift me up.
My aim is higher ground.
I want to live to the utmost high
and catch a gleam of glory bright.
And catch a gleam of glory bright.
But still I'll pray.
Lord, lead me on to higher.
Lord, lift me up.
Lord, lift me up.
And let me stand by faith. Still I'll pray.
Till heaven I've found.
Till rest I've found.
Lord, plant my feet on high.
Lord, plant my feet on higher.
Lord, lift me up.
Raise up the hand.
Lord, lift me up.
It's a prayer.
And let me stand.
By faith.
By faith on heaven's table.
A higher plane. Raise that hand. A higher plane.
A higher plane.
It's a prayer.
Than I have found.
Lord, plant my feet.
Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon. On seeing and fulfilling my prophetic destiny. Firstly, Lord, I repent of unbelief. Where I have not believed your prophets. Where I have not believed that your plan for my life has been written before I was formed in my mother's womb. And has been recorded in your word. Oh God, have mercy on me. I receive mercy, the blood of Jesus for cleansing, your life and power in sufficient measure to enable me to repent, to see this truth and begin to walk in it. Father, I also pray that you come and help me. Help me, Lord, to search the scriptures daily. Help me to pray in the spirit with an attitude of humility. The fear of God, the love of God, so that my praying in the Spirit can be effective, so I can receive the witness of your word, the revelation of your word in my heart concerning my prophetic destiny. And then, Lord, continue to send to me prophetic messages that I will be able to see the other parts of my prophetic destiny and have a full picture and the strength and the ability to walk in it. Oh God, you're such a kind God. You're such a caring God. Before you found me in my mother's womb, you already had a plan for me. And you have put that plan inside your word. For your word is your law is a shadow of good things to come. All the good things to come in my life are inside your word. Oh God, open my eyes. Help me see them and help me walk in them. In Jesus' name, amen. Neka shalo prede. Mercy, Lord. Father, thank you. Bakatolo mashalo perekakoloma tolo mashto fredes. Mercy, Father, thank you. Rakatolo matolo mengardolo. Ambra kamatolo mato frede fresho. Ambra kamatolo mato fredika. Ambra kamatolo mato fredes. Lord Jesus, thank you. Rabakamatolo matolo mato frede ingardolo. Ambra to fredes. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you. Jale pidi kakakla. Lombre de kamatolo mato frede. Zo frediga. Zo frenengara. Zo fredika dosko frenenga. Lo predikla mato fredes. Jelike koko. Ratolo matolo mato frede. Ratolo mato fredes. In Jesus' name. We're now going to share the benediction. We've come to the end of the service. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God will give you peace. God will make you head and not tail. Above only not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, lo! It is written of you in the volume of the book. You will see and fulfill the fullness of your prophetic destiny in Jesus' name. Amen.